You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We're taking a look at Starlink. There's been a lot of rumors circulating that we will finally get Elon Musk's Starlink in South Africa. Those rumors have been circulating for quite some time. ICASA denying that Starlink has applied for it or for a license. Elon Musk saying that he has applied for a license. There's been a lot of back and forth and confusion. And I thought, let's clarify that. Let's see what we know and let's see where we stand at the moment. I'm joined on the line by deputy editor at My Broadband, Hanu Labaskagni, to take a look at this. Good evening, Hanu. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with where we are now and where we were sort of a couple of weeks ago before all of the back and forth began.
Well, yeah, there's been some big changes, Jimmy, in the last couple of weeks. There's been no word from SpaceX for a long time about what will happen with Starlink in South Africa. Actually, from late 2022, they changed the availability of the service on their official coverage map from an estimated launch in 2023 to unknown. And that sort of left people in the dark. What was also mysterious is that South Africa wasn't completely removed. It was a part of a small cohort of countries that had an unknown ETA. And presumably that unknown ETA was due to some uncertainty from SpaceX's side regarding the process of approval in South Africa and how laborious it would be given our ownership rules for telecoms licensees. But now, over the past few weeks, it seems that a comment from Mr. Elon Musk himself, the CEO of SpaceX, has sort of spurred more stories and reports about Starlink officially, looking to get approval in South Africa. We have heard that ICASA, as I said, has not applied for a license. But we have some high-placed government sources and our president himself confirming that discussions are potentially underway and that he's spoken to Mr. Musk himself. So a lot of developments, and it all sort of started with just a seemingly inconspicuous tweet or reply by Musk himself to someone in South Africa who asked for the service to be available. I believe it's a farmer who asked, when are we getting it? And then Musk just said, awaiting approval in South Africa. And that sort of started the ball rolling. And then we got the official word from President Ramaphosa that they are looking at getting approval in South Africa.
Now, Hanu, one of the things, as you mentioned, that seemed to be a bit of a delay initially in the process was the uncertainty around the ownership. And there were obviously rumors circulating that there would need to be a certain level of ownership that would be BEE ownership and those sorts of conditions, and Starlink seemingly not happy with that, and that went back and forth. ICASA's last standpoint was that they haven't received an application.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. They haven't received an application, according to them. That was about a week ago we got the last confirmation. Of course, things can change quite a bit during that time. It might simply be that ICASA is not aware that the Starlink directors in charge of seeking approval are in the country and are speaking to individuals in government that might not necessarily be at ICASA itself, although ICASA is the regulator. Of course, they will have to. They are tasked with getting the approval. So it will be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out, whether it's being driven by the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. We've had some word from Minister Malatsi alluding to potentially entering into discussions with Starlink a couple of weeks ago in an interview we had with him. He said he could find no active engagement between his department and SpaceX, and that people could expect some of that to change and some developments in this area. Of course, we're waiting for official confirmation that this has happened. But we have some highly placed sources that are saying that even though ICASA is not aware of the application proceeding, there are some high-level discussions potentially already happening or happening in the near future to get that approval. Now, it will be a big challenge given the current rules of the ECA, the Electronic Communications Act, which determines that a company that wants to hold a license, electronic communication services license, needs to be 30% owned by historically disadvantaged groups. So that can include Black people, people with disabilities, women and youth. But ICASA has also proposed these new regulations that will replace that effectively with 30% black ownership. So you'll have to have 30% black ownership. Now, you can imagine for an international company like Starlink, actually a US-based company, where these types of rules are not a factor, it's quite challenging if you want to launch directly into the market and offer your services. And their business model is a bit different from other international companies that have launched via subsidiaries or through partners. Starlink doesn't want to do that. They don't want to lose control of the customer interaction, and they feel that if they introduce third parties in between them and the customer, it will increase the cost of the service, and they also lose some control over the customer service element. So it will be interesting to see how they tackle this particular blockade, and if it will eventually mean that Starlink will partner. But what is clear is the current licensees in the country will probably not be happy if Starlink is granted some sort of special exemption. And I don't think that will allow for fair competition.
I know. Let's look at that cost, and let's look at them coming into the market potentially. Does the price point that Starlink has in mind look attractive to consumers? Is it a good price point for you and I to look at when looking at service providers?
So in answering that question, one has to look at Starlink's target market. Their target market is not people that are living in metros or cities or even towns. With alternative forms of communication, well, forms of broadband like fiber and fixed LTE and fixed 5G. We've got a plethora of broadband solutions in these areas. Starlink is aimed primarily at serving those locations that don't have any other forms of connectivity or might have had satellite connectivity, but satellite connectivity, traditional satellite connectivity via geosynchronous satellites is simply, it cannot reach the speeds or capabilities of Starlink. Starlink has got much higher speeds. We're talking about over 100 megabits per second, so it's fiber-like in its speed, and its latency in South Africa at the moment is about 200 milliseconds, but that's already much better than 600 or 700 milliseconds, and that makes applications like video conferencing and video calling and online gaming much more possible. So firstly, you need to look at the market that it's aiming for. And in that market, Starlink is unbeatable in terms of value and price because the competing satellite services, all the satellite services, they're effectively just much, much more expensive per megabit per second. And also they've got these stringent fair usage policies on their packages, which limit your speed after a certain amount of usage in the month. And Starlink doesn't really do that. So in that area, they are very competitive. And now what's interesting in Africa, the subscriptions are typically priced, you know, around, I think about 500 to 1,000 rand per month, which might sound like a lot for, you know, people living in rural areas that are poor. But we already see some people in the middle of Africa, in Kenya and those countries, sharing their Starlink connections with each other and then distributing the cost within the community. And the Starlink dish sort of like acting like a central Wi-Fi access point for people in the community. And then also where it recently launched in Zimbabwe, it actually has a subscription price of about $30, which is around 500 rand, which is highly competitive with entry-level fiber in South Africa. And one must keep in mind that in Zimbabwe, fiber prices are much higher, broadband prices are much higher than in South Africa. So it's actually a very, very compelling offering there. And they've also got a dish that the upfront equipment is quite expensive, but they've got a mini dish that is much more affordable than their regular dish. Their regular dish is around 6,000 to 7,000 rand for the service, for the kit. But this mini kit is around 3,000 rand in Zimbabwe when converted from US dollars. So it is looking like they are going to be very aggressive on pricing in South Africa and making it as accessible as possible for people that aren't necessarily able to afford it in rural areas. But we must also remember that there are many businesses in rural areas that can afford Starlink and would benefit significantly from it. And we're talking about businesses that have significant financial means, but The level of service they've seen with satellite has been abysmal. I'm talking about literally mines working in remote areas, safari lodges, like five-star safari lodges, those typically bordering the Kruger, which want to give their guests really good Wi-Fi. And then also like rural schools that might that are able to get some government funding to finance this, but drastically improve connectivity for their learners.
Well, here's to a more connected world, a more connected country. We'll wait and see how this shapes up. Certainly, some interesting times lie ahead for all of us. I think we'll leave it at that, Hanu. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Hanu Labuschagne, Deputy Editor at MyBroadband, on the Starlink debacle and where we stand.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.